Again, it is wonderful to get together and praise and worship God with all of you. When we come here together, it's part of us becoming fully equipped to serve God. We are now in our fifth week, or about halfway through our study through the book of Ephesians, as we look to make this congregation what Christ intended the church to be. And we've been looking at the several characteristics of a healthy church, and it should be our goal to take on these characteristics. This week, we take a look at equipping our members for service. Whether you're a professional on the job, at home in the kitchen, a student, an athlete, it helps to be properly equipped for the job. Now, if Emerson showed up to a wrestling match wearing his Easter suit and dress shoes, he wouldn't be a very effective wrestler, would he? If Elliot showed up to the ball field without his catcher's equipment, not only would he not be very effective as a catcher, he would actually risk getting hurt. And when it comes to being a Christian, it's not very different than anything else. To be good and effective Christians, we must be properly equipped. From our scripture reading, we see that part of our job is to be equipped for service. Equipped for service. First, we must acknowledge that we are called to serve. I've heard many people in my history in the church say, well, isn't that the pastor's job? Isn't that the pastor's job? No. My job is to equip you to go serve. It's your job to visit the sick. It's your job to give to the needy. It's your job to serve people. And we just don't become Christians and sit around waiting for our turn to go to heaven. We are called to serve. And our primary mission is to make disciples. And I know you get tired of hearing this, and we should all know it by heart. But Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Go and make disciples. To make disciples, we must equip them so that they can go and make disciples. You see, it should be a continuous loop of growth, and we've lost that. We have to become disciples so we can go make disciples to equip those disciples to go make more disciples. You see how that works? It's kind of like a pyramid scheme, right? Except for a good reason. That we witness to two or three people who come to the knowledge of Christ, and then they witness to two or three people who come to the knowledge of Christ, and see how it grows? We're supposed to grow. But in America and in this church and churches across this country, we're seeing a decline in growth. As I mentioned just before, Carla's old church from growing up is closing. Instead of a decline, we should be having an explosion of growth. And I think in a large part, we don't see growth anymore because we have become Christians by name only and not Christians in action. We're not growing or equipping ourselves, and as a result, we have a poor record of serving others and bringing them to Christ. If we are poorly equipped, not only will we fail being tossed about and falling into the trappings of the world, you see from the scriptures, it says here, Paul writes in 4:14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. See, the problem is, when we're poorly equipped, we don't know God's word. We don't know God. We don't understand how holy he is, how perfect he is, how he abhors sin. We don't understand what he's taught us, what he's commanded us. And then because we don't know him, because we're infants in our knowledge, it's easy for us to fall for the ways of the world. It's easy for us to get trapped by the teachings, the false teachings of the world. And those teachings are splitting God's church apart. So how do we become equipped for service?
How do we avoid falling into these pitfalls? How do we avoid becoming people who cannot stay firm in our faith? We need to be firm in everything that we stand for. And the first thing we need to do is we need to surrender to God. Because we are all about us. What I want, what I believe, what I think. And it can't be what we want anymore. It's got to be all about God. And last week and many times before, I've gone over this verse. I don't know how many times since I've been here. But Jesus said, love the Lord your God with what? All. All your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And you see, to become properly equipped, we first must give all of ourselves to God. We can't hold back. It can't be about us. It can't be about what we want. Everything we have has to be given to God. And if we don't get those priorities straight, if the Lord is not first in our lives, then things will fall apart. But when we keep God first and we look to God and look to His teachings, then the rest of it comes together. The early church got it right, and Christianity spread throughout the world at an incredible rate. Thousands by thousands by thousands came to know Christ. Churches popped up all over the Roman Empire. How did that happen? Did it happen just because they just got together and sang a few hymns and went home? From Acts chapter 2, it tells us this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with great awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Now, some of these verses you might get tired of hearing over and over and over again. You might be saying, how many times are you going to say that? Until we get it. Until we get it. Do you see how all of this worked? It says they devoted themselves to becoming equipped. They served the Lord, and the Lord added to their numbers. They devoted themselves. And just as Paul tells us in our scripture reading, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the Bible. Devoted means to concentrate. To concentrate on something, to set it apart, to dedicate it by solemn vow or act. That is to be devoted to somebody, to something. And ask yourself, how devoted are you to the teachings of Christ and the apostles? I mean, we all say, well, that's the Bible. But how devoted are you to God's words? Do you read your Bible every day? Do you listen to other sermons or Bible studies on the radio or TV? Are you part of a regular Bible study such as Sunday school? Hint, hint. Danny is, and Danny participates well. Danny gets a star for today. But you need to be devoted to God's word. We hear it here. We listen to our liturgist do a wonderful job reading our scriptures every Sunday, but are we devoted to them? The book of Acts said they gathered together, not just on Sundays, but in their homes. They devoted themselves to the teachings. They read the scriptures together. They learned the scriptures together. Because if you're not reading, studying, learning, and growing, then how can you be equipped for service? We're supposed to go out and tell the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But how well do you know it? Do you know it enough to tell people? And we're not just to be equipped, but we're supposed to put everything into action. Some of us are equipped. Some of us have been to church our whole lives. We've read our Bibles. Some of you may even pray a lot. And that's all good stuff. But does that mean you're truly serving God? Are you keeping it all to yourself? Here's a picture of me in the Army. I was at Fort Dix being equipped for my deployment. I had my uniform, I had my helmet, my field gear, and my weapon. And not only did I have the tools, I had the training. That picture was taken at a firing range where we were honing our skills. And every day we did push-ups and sit-ups to make sure we were physically fit. We studied tactics, we studied our enemy, we studied the land, and we studied the culture. We did practice runs and covered as many battlefield scenarios as we could. We felt we were thoroughly equipped for our mission. Now imagine if we had performed all of that training, all of that time being equipped, and then just went back home and did nothing. What if we just did all that work for nothing? What good would it have done? And what if we did none of the equipping? What if we went out on our mission and we didn't equip ourselves? We would have failed in our mission. Would have done no good to go into Afghanistan and fail at our mission. Elliot can put on all his catcher's gear and he can read every book on catching, but that doesn't make him a catcher, does it? He can have 1,000 practices, but if he shows up to the ball field and just sits in the stands, it does no good, does it? Unless he is engaged on the field and performs his task of catching, it is only then he is successful at being a catcher. And we do the same things with church. We claim to be Christians, but even when we're equipped, we come and we sit in the stands, and that's where we leave it. Very few of us get into the game. I mean, you can know more Bible verses than anyone. You can have t-shirts and bumper stickers. You can put Christian in your Facebook profile. And you can say all kinds of things about your identity. You can wear crosses. You can do all kinds of things. But if you're not in the game, if you're not living it, if you're not doing it, if you're not in some way going out to make disciples of Christ, then you're not doing your mission. Jesus teaches us about people who lack service. From Matthew 25, verse 31, he says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' And then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty or give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' They will also answer me, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. See, your action or lack of action is a sign of true beliefs. It is a sign of whether or not you are or not a Christian. And we heard from previous week's sermons from James and Paul that faith without deeds is dead. See, you have to understand that Wesley believed that our job is to spread the gospel and the good news to other people. But he says, who's going to hear the gospel when they're hungry? Who's going to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit when they're in pain? So we need to go out and serve people in ways that we can bring them the gospel, that we can bring them the good news. And we talked about it in Sunday school today. What is the difference between people living a good life, doing good things, and you today? What is it that separates you? Lots of people do lots of good things. Lots of people attend charity events. A lot of people donate money to good causes. A lot of people will go out and even help raise funds for good causes. So what separates you? It needs to be your faith. Your faith in God. And the power that comes from having faith in God. Because God will empower us to do things greater than we can do on our own. And you need to ask yourself, is your faith dead? Or is your faith real? Are you living it in such a way that people look at you and say, Christ is in their life? Because if you need a bumper sticker on your car to let people know you're a Christian, then are you really living it? If you need to wear a pendant from your neck to tell people that you're a Christian, are you really living it? Shouldn't they know that by how you live, by how you serve? Will you be the one to whom Jesus says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world? Or will you be the one to whom he says, depart from me, you who are cursed into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels? See, that's the difference between real faith and people who don't have real faith. There is a real eternity. An eternity in the presence of God or eternity without the presence of God. You see, we all have a calling to serve. Each of us have been given different gifts. But we were not given these gifts to sit idle. From Romans 12, Paul writes this, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. It almost sounds like a Nike commercial, right? Remember those commercials? Just do it. We need to go out and do it. We need to live our faith. And if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, it's because you haven't been equipped. Because the Holy Spirit will reveal to you your gifts as you become trained in God's word. As you learn God's word, as you take in God's word, as you grow with other Christians, God will reveal to you and give you gifts. Some of you were born with natural gifts. We have a lot of educators in here. We have had a lot of people that have served their community in different ways. We have a lot of natural gifts. But you see, God gifts us differently. God gives to us beyond that. God can take our natural gifts, and when you add this power of the Spirit to them, they become amplified. And some of you have gifts that you have yet to discover yet, because you were refusing to turn yourselves over to God. You're refusing to answer that call. Some of you may be called to be ministers and teachers. Some of you may be called to be missionaries. Some of you, maybe it's your calling to go out and visit the sick. Maybe it's your calling to go and feed and care for the poor and the hungry and the homeless. But you see, we're called to do so much more than just gather here. This is just our starting point. This is where we get trained. This is where we get equipped. This is where we become revived and refreshed and renewed. This is where we support each other. When one is down, the other's lifting up. But we need to be so much more than what we are. We need to be going and growing. And if we're not growing, we're dying. If you don't water the plant, what happens? If we don't give it some nutrients and some fertilizer, what happens? It begins to wither, begins to die, and it stops producing fruit. And think about it. How much fruit have we been producing? How much fruit are we producing? Some of you have received fruit from being here. But some of us are taking the fruit and we're consuming it for us. We're coming here for us, for what I need, for what I want. And you should. You should come here and be fed. But we should be producing fruit in abundance. We should be producing fruit that brings people in. Because we have communities that are hungry for love, hungry for grace, hungry for mercy, hungry for God's light. And that's who we are supposed to be. And like I said last week, these sermons can be tough and they can be hard and they seem to be coming down at you. But see, it's my job to be your drill sergeant. It's my job to be your teacher. It's my job to be your instructor. It's my job to push you, equip you. But you have to see what you need and you have to be willing to accept that. I want this church to have tremendous growth. And I really believe by the end of the year, we can start seeing that growth. I think we can start seeing the growth this summer. We're already here. We need to go out and grab people. We need to bring them to church. They need to start seeing that God is working in our lives, that He's changing us, that He's making us different. And we need to live that way so people say, you know, you seem different than you did a couple months ago. And you can say, because God's working on me. And I'm growing in my faith. My church is changing me. My life and church is changing me. You want people to come to this church? Then they need to see that coming here makes a difference in your life. When people see that the church and your faith makes a difference in your lives, then you'll go out and start making a difference in other people's lives. But they need to see it. It's not something we can just do. It's not something we can just hold on to. It's not something we can do from sitting in the pews. We need to go out and live it. We need to plant seeds and we need to let it grow. We need to water and we need to bear fruit. And that's there. We just have to claim it. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, sometimes your word is straight and direct, and other times it seems to be a mystery. But Lord, we cannot begin to unfold or understand your mystery if we don't grow in our knowledge of you, if we are not working to grow closer to you, if we're not building that relationship. And Lord, I just ask that the Holy Spirit move among the people today, that you will stir some hearts, that you allow people to see that they are holding on to a great gift. They're holding on to the way you have created and gifted them to be. And they're holding on to ways that they can be out serving you and sharing your love and your gospel and your good news. Lord, there's nobody on this planet that I wish goes to hell. Lord, we need to be out saving people. We need to be out bringing them the gospel so that they can experience the Holy Spirit and your saving grace. Lord, continue to shape us and form us into the church that you have called us to be. Lord, let us make us a different kind of people, people that wear our faith openly, the people who aren't afraid to stand for what is right, to stand for your holy word. Lord, let us be defenders of your word, defenders of your faith, and allow us to do it in a way that is compassionate and loving so that other people see the same love and compassion that you've showed to us. All of this we ask and pray through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you love to tell the story? Have you ever told the story? What has God done for you? How has He changed you? How has He carried you through troubled times? How has He given you blessings in times that you didn't deserve them? How has He given you forgiveness and love and mercy? Has He given you joy and peace and celebration of knowledge of your eternal home and glory? Because if you don't have a story to tell, then you need to stop and think about your life, about what you're doing. Because we serve a great God. We serve a God of promises. We serve a God of love and salvation. And that, folks, is something that should change you. Your faith in God should be something that you hang on to, something that means everything to you. And it is that faith that you need to tell the story of. Because we have a world of people that have nothing. We have a world of people hanging on to lies and deceit. I mean, even my son, Ethan, through this whole ordeal of COVID, is starting to see hypocrisy and lies and deceit all around him. Of people who will say anything to get your money, anything to get elected, anything to keep power and control. And he's starting to see that there's only one true truth, that there is only one true God, that there is only one true faith. And it is only faith in God that will save us. There's no person on this planet that can give us or save us from anything. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ can we be saved. And some of you have heard that for 60, 70, 80 years. You know the story, you know the truth. It's time we go and share that truth. It's time we go and use that faith in ways that bears fruit for God, in ways that lead others to Jesus Christ. In what way can you tell the story this week? In what way can you lead other people to faith in Christ? Because in that passage from the book of Acts, it said it added to their numbers daily. But did it stop there? They didn't just fill pews. They didn't just have people. They just didn't have big congregations and big celebrations. It said they added to their numbers those who were being saved. And I'd rather have one new saved person come down this aisle than 200 people just sitting here next week. Because 200 people sitting here next week doesn't do anything for God, does it? But salvation in Christ does. And each of you know somebody who needs Jesus Christ. Most of us know lots of people who need Jesus Christ. So who are we going to tell the story to this week? Who are we going to share with? How are you going to leave here and celebrate what God did for you? Will you call somebody and say, wow, you missed church today. God is speaking and working. Are you going to get on social media and say, God is working in my life? Are you going to walk across the street to your neighbor and say, wow, won't you come to church next week? I can't wait for you to come and be a part of what God is going to do here. You have an opportunity to go and share the story, to go and serve. Today you have been equipped with God's message. Take it, share it, live it. Go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.